Random thought. Parents who let their high school daughters date grown men should be in jail along with that sick, twisted, perverted, disgusting individual atrocity of a man that's doing such a thing.
That let. Wow. That word is powerful in that sentence.
It is. Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out swearing over her two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, episode 121. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
Back to this random thought that parents who let their high school daughters date grown men should be in jail, along with that sick, perverted, twisted individual. You say let is a big word in there. Why?
Well, who would let them do it? I get that you're going to have rebellious young people or just curious young people that are going to date an older person or try to. But a parent that lets somebody do it?
Huh.
That's crazy. And let's talk about the age difference. Is it 19-year-old freshman in college talking to a 16-year-old sophomore?
No.
Or are we talking like 28-year-old manager at Wendy's talking to a 16-year-old?
Let me answer both of those questions for you. And okay. With Exhibit A, it comes from about 6 years ago. And, you know, this is what people do. People on the internet dig up past interviews and anything that happens. So just know, whatever we said on this podcast and before, it's going to come up at some point or another, okay? Just like this came up for Nia Long.
Like, my boyfriend was 30 when I was in high school. I know my mother was crazy, but you know what? She was like, well, if that's who you love, baby. And he was so good to me, and he did it the right way. He went to her and he said, I love your daughter, and I want to date your daughter, and he asked permission.
He asked permission. She said, if you love who you love. There's so many things to unpack in this. She even said, he did it the...
Yes.
I can't even repeat that.
Yes. No, there is no right way.
Jesus.
30-year-old man comes to me asking permission to date my high school daughter. But yeah, come in. Let's talk about that. Let me go get the gun real quick. Be right back.
Yeah, you may walk over here, but you go crawl back out. There's no conversation. And here's the thing. Age gaps are a thing. It's a matter of, I'm not against age gaps. I'm against when they take place. Because a 30-year-old person with a 50-year-old person, that's a big age gap. But it's a big difference from a 30-year-old, and it's a bigger age gap, but a 30-year-old and even a 15, a 16, a 17, 18-year-old in high school. Even though the age gap by number is smaller, mm-hmm. Man, mentally, that age gap is way bigger. Are you kidding me?
That's huge. And again, the context that you just use is in high school. Because
yes.
You could be an 18-year-old freshman at Harvard. And yeah, you're pretty smart. But I would still question why a 30-year-old
yes.
would want to date that person. Mm. And this person, managed a hair salon. So, and did makeup. So it's not like he's not around women his
right.
own age. You know, but to me, you're trying to groom a child. And what mom is okay with that?
Apparently hers.
I don't care how mature you think your child is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your 18-year-old, well, they're really, you know, what do we hear on that reality show? They're an old soul. Bullshit.
Yeah.
30 years old and somebody 18, taking an 18-year-old to their prom. That's ridiculous. Now, what I wonder is, does Nia Long still feel the same way today
mm-hmm.
compared to what she said 6 years ago? Because I'll give her a pass. So she's like, look, I did that interview. Yeah, that was on then. Now that I think about it, I wouldn't do it. Like when I was a kid, I put ketchup on eggs. Now that's gross. I would never do that.
Oh, look, what do you mean if she feels the same way? There's no justification for it. I mean, her mother thought that way. And an adult thought it was okay. I don't understand this. It doesn't register for me. I was 17 when I graduated high school. And I couldn't deal with high school girls after that. Because to me, mentally, we ain't on the same level. I've graduated to college with it.
Well, and that's just it. You go to college, you have all these options.
Yes.
Normally in high school, your options are the people within your grade or maybe a grade below you in the school. Mm-hmm. You get to college, it's everybody. It's every JUCO. It's every university around, every college, fraternity, sorority party you go to. So many options. Why would you go back to Innsperson High School? But back to my point about what Nia Long thinks now, she can't go back and change what her mom approved yes. back then. But could she, as an adult, because in that interview, she didn't say it was wrong. She said right. he did it the right way. But I'm wondering but now,
that says a lot.
Looking back on it, would she say, you know what, 6 years ago when I did that interview, I thought that, but then the more I've processed it, and now that I have, you know, children of my own, I wouldn't do that.
Okay, 6 years ago, Nia Long still had kids, and she was 46, not the current 52 that she is. So I'm sorry. She does not get a pass. And see, somebody here saying, ladies and gentlemen, Nia Long, this is the craziest thing, because on that was on social media, right? And people in the comments were killing me. Somebody's like, ladies and gentlemen, Nia Long is 52 and 30 plus years ago when she was in high school. Now, I think their math is off because they say, let's say it was around 1990s. No, if Nia Long was in high school, it was before then. It was in the 80s. Had to be mid to late 80s. It doesn't matter what decade it was, okay? Unfortunately, back then, older men dated younger women. It was known, but it wasn't really a big deal back then. You had to be there to understand, and it kind of was what it was back then, like the R. Kelly and Aaliyah situation. No, that was wrong too.
No.
Are you kidding me?
No. Back this? Then, where that was okay was
and
like
a woman.
The 1800s.
Oh, he's
the 1800s, early 1900s. That was okay.
Yes.
Yeah. 1980, 1970, 1980, 1990s? No.
Exactly.
It's not okay. But I think for a mom, why would you not ask, hey, you're 30. Why do you want to date my 18-year-old daughter?
Yeah. And let's assume she was 18 because
exactly
it could have been. And here's the thing, your whole point about grooming, because one of the things that she said was, you know, he had a salon, so he taught me how to do my hair
the way he likes.
Exactly.
He taught me how to put on makeup the way he likes.
Exactly.
That's called grooming, Nia, and it is totally wrong. But I can't believe that she can't look back on that and say, hey, that was crazy, wrong, I shouldn't have did that. You know, I know people that hooked up with teachers, females that hooked up with male teachers in mm-hmm. high school. They know what's wrong now, but it's what they did back then. But at least they can say now it's wrong. But for Nia to all but make it seem like this was okay, I tried to help her out, but I just can't.
And don't get me wrong. I am not blaming young Nia Long for this. I'm blaming 46-year-old Nia Long, who was like, well, he did it the right way. That means you haven't elevated from the high school Nia Long, right? That's the problem I have here, because the child is not at fault here. I had a friend of mine who her ex-husband, she met when she was in high school, right? And I was like, wait a minute. But how did y'all meet? You know, I lived in the country, so we, you know, that's what it was. You dated older men. I'm like, but how'd you meet him? He said, well, he used to date one of the other girls on the cheerleading squad, and when they broke up, we started dating. I'm like, wait a minute. So he was a serial rapist, really, is what you're saying. Because what is this old ass man who was 28 at the time dating 16-year-olds? Who does that?
I don't understand it. I don't care what small town you live in. If you're in the country, the suburbs, or the big city, 28 and 16 is wrong.
Very.
Male or female, it is freaking wrong. Like, why would you choose to do that? And obviously, you're doing it because you're sick and you got something going on in your head, obviously. But it makes no sense. But for a parent to be okay with it.
Yes.
That's what blows my mind, is for a parent to be okay with it.
Does it change your mind if it's a 30-year-old woman and a 16-year-old guy?
No.
Okay.
No. Now, don't get me wrong. To the 16-year-old guy, I'm like, dude. Respect.
And see, that's the problem with us right here. That is the
but
problem
I wouldn't
with us
want
right here.
I would still think it's wrong, but I'd be like, dude.
But if you were that 16-year-old guy or that guy's friend, you'd be like, yo, fist bump.
if I'm 16 with my 16-year-old boy is dating a 30-year-old, awesome, man. Get her to buy us some beer. You know, I get it. But it's still wrong. But I think if a 30-year-old woman went to the parent of a 16-year-old boy and said, hey, I'm in love with your son and I would like to date him, and they give the green light, they wrong too. All of them should go to jail.
Everybody. Lock them up. In the words of former President Donald J. Trump, lock them up. Hey, see, you didn't think you'd agree with Donald Trump, but look at you. Look at you. You're listening to this, you're watching this, and you're agreeing with Donald Trump right now. Lock them up.
I think even Ted Cruz would agree with me on this one.
I don't know. Ted Cruz finds a reason to disagree. Yeah. Well, let's say if you agree with Elba, because, you know, he made waves here the other day in saying that he no longer wants to be considered a black actor. He says, I want to be the first Idris, not the first black actor to do this. Then, of course, you know, people are going to have opinions on that, because it's very reminiscent of some other stuff that's been said. And John Boyega, you remember him from Star Wars, there are not very many black characters that we've seen in Star Wars, so, you know, it's pretty easy to find.
Lando.
He's not Samuel.
And John.
He was the black man not named Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, the dude that did Darth Vader's voice, but you never saw him.
Yeah. So. Look, you're not going to disrespect James Earl Jones and not say his name, okay?
Sorry, James Earl Jones.
There you go.
I was drawing a blank. I'm only on one cup of coffee right now.
I mean, there was also Wilt Chamberlain, but he was underneath all that fur. All right, so John Boyega says, I think we should fixate on who is typecasting and putting actors in boxes because of this. We continuously, not on making weird adjustments for them, we continuously focus on what we have to do so they don't do this or that. Very worrying. We black, and that's that. And then Idris says, there isn't a soul on this earth that can question whether I consider myself a black man or not. Being an actor is a profession. Like being an architect, they're not defined by race. However, if you define your work by race, that is your prerogative. A lie?
You know, I agree with him. If you choose to define your profession with your race, you do you. Mm-hmm. I get there's a difference between the first black astronaut. Right. And then now every astronaut that comes before them, or we go, this is the second, this is the third black astronaut, this is the fourth black astronaut, this is the 125th black astronaut. It's just, if you want to define yourself as that, great. Now, here's where I'm thinking from a creative, and I don't have much creative juices in me, but from a creative perspective, I think sometimes some people, it's not so much they get typecast, but they wind up not getting considered because of everything they know that's going to come with bringing this character in. And if I'm trying to shoot this type of movie, you take Quentin Tarantino, who pushes the envelope on a lot of things when it comes to race. There's probably certain actors that he probably would love to work with, but he knows that there's a whole lot of extra drama that's going to come with this. And if I try to get this person to play this character, they're going to push back because they are a black actor.
Right.
Compared like Samuel Jackson. He's been in so many Quentin Tarantino movies, and Sam was like, yeah, I'm totally good, especially with the amount of times they use the N-word in Django. He was totally fine with it, but not every black actor would be. So I agree. I don't think you should define yourself. Well, I'm not going to define myself as Terrell, the black, you know, talent acquisition or HR person. I'm Terrell.
The 150th black.
But I mean, if that's what some people choose to do, because I see it on LinkedIn, and you got people that put all that stuff out, and if that's what you want to do for yourself, great. You can totally do that. I choose not.
Okay. So that's where I agree with you in the sense of, if you're putting, and I've seen people do this, like somebody who made history, it was like, well, I'm the first black person to do this. And I'm like, that's cool, but I don't think that should be a selling point, right? And that's the problem. When you keep, if you made history, you don't have to keep reminding people that you made history in that space, right? But I'll say for resumes and stuff like that, you don't put up, I'm the first black, whatever, right? However, I think what Idris did in saying this, I no longer want to be considered a black actor. I don't think Samuel L. Jackson goes around and says, well, I'm a black actor. No, I'm an actor. Here's what I do. When you look at him, you know he's black. Just like when you look at Idris, you know he's black, okay? So Idris saying this is the same thing as OJ saying, I'm just OJ, you know? Or Michael Jackson saying, I'm neither black or white. You know it.
I'm not a black killer. I'm just a killer. That's what OJ's got.
I don't
my kills
define
don't
my
define my my race does not define my kills.
So I'm gonna take it you think he was guilty. But that's the point is, I when artists get to this level of fame, and they feel like something's stopping them, and they need because people say, well. They're introduced this way or as a black actor or the first black actor to do this or first black this to do whatever. They get to this point and they go, I no longer want to be considered this. I don't want to be put in this box. Well, here's the problem. That box is not something that you're in. It's what the people, it's the perception of those people who are doing it. So you think telling them that you're not a black actor anymore is going to make them not see you as black? No. Tiger Woods, when you said Caucasian, they still saw Negro.
Right. And he didn't want to be defined as the first black offer to do this stuff because he's mixed with all these other things. Hey, I get it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's your prerogative. It's your choice how you want to be defined. But I do think sometimes that people can put themselves in a box that they think that the world or society is trying to put them into. It's like, no, you backed yourself into that corner. Mm-hmm. No one else did. You have some people that can look at Idris Elba and say, wow, he's a talented actor.
Right.
Everybody's not looking at him so going, he's a good black actor.
I don't think anybody did. And that's why I think him saying this just was unnecessary. Like, now, if you become, I think you made this point. If you take a certain role, then it's going to come up.
Right.
What's that role everybody's asking? They're saying that he should be James Bond. Well, of course, if you're going to be the first black man to play James Bond, guess what? They're not going to call you. He's just another James. No, no, no. They're going to point out the fact James Bond went from all the stuff he was doing before that. He's got a great tan.
Well, but that's true. But I think Idris is conscious enough to recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when he was in The Wire, they went, hey, you're the first black person to lead a gang and have drug dealers working for you. No, he's not. When he was in, is it Daddy's Girls? You're the first black mechanic to own your own shop. No, he's not. In the movie Molly's Game, you're the first black lawyer. No, he's not. But to be the first black James Bond, that would be something I'm sure he would recognize that I'm playing a character that no other person of color has ever played or been allowed to play. I think he would recognize that and be fine with it. But for everything else that he's done, show me a character that he's done that no black person has ever done, either on TV or in real life.
He's the first black intelligent gangster on TV portrayed by an Englishman and fooled everybody to think that he's actually American.
Okay. That's a reach. That's a reach.
I'm just saying, most people didn't know until he showed up on an award show and spoke. They're like, who the hell is this guy? Why is he speaking so funny? Because Stringer Bell was just Stringer Bell. Nobody thought. It's only when you go back and you go, I can hear it a little bit now. But when you first watched The Wire, you didn't hear that English accent. It came off. He's good. He's good. A lot of the British actors are, but you know.
Yeah, lot of them are. I mean, it blows my mind how
talented.
A lot of
the black British actors.
Yeah, it blows my mind how talented they are. And because you normally see a lot of American actors and actresses trying to put on these accents.
Mm-hmm.
But to see these British actors just be able to do it like it's the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. But a lot of people didn't realize he was of British descent until you start hearing him talk. Especially if you just saw The Wire. But any movie he's in, I haven't seen him do a movie yet. Not that he's not done it. I haven't seen him do a movie yet where he had a British accent.
I have. And there's some of them like, what was that movie he was in? I can't remember off the top of my head. Somebody will.
I'm saying I haven't seen it. I'm saying he hasn't. I'm sure he has. I just haven't seen it yet. So my introduction to Idris Elba was this black dude that I thought sounded like me.
Yep, there's a lot of them. This is interesting too, though, man. As we go to this bullshit, this Huntsville councilman is making news for skip scatting. Do you know what that is?
It's when you're going through self-checkout and you scan pretty quickly, but a couple items you purposely don't scan and put in the back.
Yep, exactly.
So I've heard.
Yeah. Oh, so you know this very well. How? How so do you know this so well, sir?
I worked in retail. Worked in grocery retail. Mm-hmm. Kind of familiar.
So how easy is this to do, really?
Well, it's... I don't know. I can't say the phrase easy. I think it was easier when self-checkouts first came out because there's cameras that are there, so I'm sure they're watching, but it's... Every retail place expects some shrinkage or expects some type of loss or theft. Mm-hmm. And so it's not as easy to catch. But now it's a lot easier to catch because, A, you have the same type of people going to the same buildings. You're tracking credit card numbers. So if you're using a credit card or debit card, you can tell who this person is that did it. And then they have better security now that can look at how quickly you're scanning items to see if the light bleeped. And how many items were, if they can count, I saw 30 items that they moved through, but the machine only captured 20. So this person skip scanned 10 items.
You know what's, I just want to point this out to everybody that Terrell is obviously in security as well. Because you heard how well he explained that just now, right? Because that's exactly what happened with this guy. Somebody noticed, and here's the thing about it. Somebody noticed that he didn't scan every item as he put it in the bag. And so they stopped him. And then what happened was Walmart decides to do an investigation into him. Well, let's look at his credit card. Let's go back to past transactions. Come to find out this joker had done it 31 times before. This was back in January. He gets caught a couple of weeks ago because he goes back and then tries to take some headphones and put them in a bag that he already had. So they catch him again. And that's how they arrest this councilman. Now, here's the weird part about this. They tally the other 31 times that he did it, $331 and some change.
So roughly $10 a pop. Mm-hmm. He was walking away. That's just so stupid. So it's Alabama. So, I mean, obviously, I have my
judgment. Stop it.
But here's what's dumb about this. You're a councilman. Mm-hmm. You have no business stealing. Mm-hmm. Nobody should steal. I think we talked about this on one of our shows about kind of honesty. Don't steal. It's not worth it. You shouldn't do it. But you're a councilman. You got a lot to lose. And your reputation is on the line. Over 10 bucks.
Yes.
Over $10. It's one thing, hey, if you're starving, your kids haven't eaten in 3 days, I don't condone theft. But I understand in that situation, you're a councilman, $10. You've ruined your whole name and everything that you've built for yourself.
Worked for you. Yep.
For 300 bucks. I would have Venmo'd you 300 bucks. It's that tight. It's 10 bucks. We all have a friend that could spot us $10.
My Venmo is Yanni Rude.
Just saying. We all have a friend that will at least spot us $10. It's easy for me to call you and be like, hey, Yanni, man, it's tight. I'm trying to go to the grocery store. I'm short 10 bucks. Can you Venmo me? That's easy.
I'm like, no, hey, I use Yanni, Cash App.
Yanni, can I have $1,000? Can I have this? You know, it's 10 bucks. It's just stupid. I don't understand why this guy is that dumb to do this to himself. I just got to make sure he's not in my fraternity. Because, you know, that's what they do is they'll go, let's see what school he went to and which fraternity he's in so we can make fun of him.
He's black, right? He's a black councilman. Let's see what black fraternity he was part of.
Did he go to an HBCU? Okay. Did he join a fraternity? Okay. Which one is it?
You know, the thing about it, too, is like you said, it's a small amount, 10 bucks each time. But 10 bucks has. And I know grocery prices are high. I mean, the woman in front of me in the grocery store the other day was like, $93? I didn't think I had $93 a hair. And then she walks up with three bags. I'm like, lady, calm it down. Then I got mine. I'm like, $96? I only got two bags.
I don't see how she doesn't know that. I mean, I shop at, you know, Whole Foods or even the local HEB, but as I'm putting stuff in my bag, I'm like, I just round up. Okay, that's $3.99. That's $4.
I need to start doing that again. Yeah.
Okay, now I put this in. Okay, that's going to be. So I should land at around $100. Yeah. Got it. So I'm not surprised when I get to the counter.
You know, my favorite when I go there, and I know we're slightly off topic here, but my favorite is when, you know, it's going to be a high bill, and you go and they scan, they get to like 150. You're like, hey, stop me when we get to 100. Just to watch the cashier's face, like, ooh. But yeah, back on track here. It's when you're using a self-checkout, I always feel, I don't understand how this black man, who's a councilman, like you said, he's a councilman, he's supposed to be better, work better within the law, but as a black man in Alabama, so you're in the deep south, Huntsville, Alabama, okay? Huntsville. I just want to point out the name of Huntsville, Alabama, in the deep south. There's a black man. You think they're not watching you at self-checkout?
If I'm in any of those old school Jim Crow states, I'm just going to make a song, scanning my eggs, boop, scanning my eggs, scanning my bacon. You see me scanning my bacon. New York strip for $9.99. I'm going to scan that too. I'm going to scan that too. I'm going to make sure just it's known that I'm scanning stuff. I always take a copy of the receipt with me just in case y'all stop me. I'm like, nope. Here's my receipt. Count them. I am good.
I'm not going to be able to get that song out of my head now.
Look at you could be in the grocery store. Scanning my eggs. Scanning my eggs.
Oh, Jesus, let's get out of here, man. Don't forget, Wednesday, we are back. 10:15, 9:15 Central, Married at First Sight, Season 16, Nashville recap. Somebody said something about Aris thinks he's hotter than Nashville fried chicken. I'm like, how hot is Nashville fried chicken? What, they got extra hot sauce in there? And then, of course, Friday night, we're back. Ready to Love recap. 10:15? You were saying 10 o'clock after the show, right? So we do 10 o'clock, not 10:15 on Wednesday.
On Wednesday, correct.
Yeah, Wednesday, 10 o'clock. And then I need to change our copy here because I've got this written wrong.
10 o'clock then, Eastern, 9 p.m. Central.
Right. And then Friday night, 9:15 after the show, 8:15 Central is when we'll be doing that live stream recap of Ready to Love, Terrell's new favorite show.
No, it's not.
And come to find out, there's an After the Altar, Love is Blind. Brought it, so season 3. So this is going to be great. We're going to do for episode 122. We'll recap that. So next Monday, that means we're giving you a week to watch Love is Blind After the Altar. We'll recap it next Monday. It'll be up here right where you're getting this right now.
And I'm looking forward to it. I haven't seen it yet, but I have so many questions. I need closure.
See, I told you you'd be getting into these dating shows.
No, stop it.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Admit it. Let it out. It's okay.
It's trash. It's trash.
I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Root, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We'll talk about it on the regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.